Welcome back, student. In this chapter, let us understand what is purchasing laws and ethics. What is the objective of this particular session is to understand the highlights of the contract act, what is the content of that, understand the role of the purchasing managers, understand the meaning and importance of the ethics in purchasing, because ethics is very important when we are working in a function called purchasing. Law aims in bringing and maintaining peace and order in the society, which is known to everyone. One such law is Indian Contract Act, ICA, we all are aware of. The law of contract from the oldest branch of the law relating to business and general transaction, as it affects every person in one way or the another. So how it affects or how it helps to do a business better, it is what we are trying to understand in this entire session. All of us enter into some kind of agreement or contract every day. You all are agree with that, because every day, every step of the moment in life, it goes a format of an agreement or entering into some kind of contract which leads to certain commitment with each parties. Law of contract is very essential to all merchants when they are involved with huge money and dealings, because purchasing activity is related to spending, and also the money goes beyond the company. So naturally there is a need of certain kind of practices and ethical factors to be followed while dealing with money, and then follow certain contractual obligations. For a person buying a movable property, hiring some goods or services, booking a marriage hall, etc., the contract creates legal relations giving rise to certain rights and obligations. It is when you are going and buying a movable property, an example is a car, or what are the things we are going? We are going and registering the car and get a permit from the RTO to run the vehicle on the road. It is legally we are given rights to use the public roads to use our vehicle. This is a type of contract and understanding, and create a legal relationship with the government of India and particularly regional transport office, through which you are licensed to use the vehicle in the public roads and following certain rules and regulations. It is give and take, and what are the rules and regulations, how it is, what you should understand before using the vehicle on the road. It's a type of legal requirements. Overview. An agreement enforceable by law is contract. Elements is equal to agreements plus legal obligation. Agreement is what you give and what you take, and legal obligation what as legally what is possible that we can exercise our area of function. Agreement is equal to offer plus acceptance. Contract is equal to agreement plus legal obligation. So this is how it is being explained as a overview. All contracts are agreements, but all agreements are not contract. What does it mean is a contract also include certain legal obligation, whereas agreement is more of an offer given to you or taken by you and accepted by both elements. That's how it's called agreement, whereas the contract also binding some legal obligations related to that act. There is a chakra in which you are looking at essential valid contract, legal obligation, two parties, there is a need of two parties, offer and acceptance, it both there is an offer, there is an acceptance in the two parties, legal obligation, what is binding to execute that act, and the lawful consideration, what type of remuneration passing for that agreement or the contract, and legally binding capacity of the parties, of what is the capability of each one, who is giving the contract, who is accepting the contract, pre-consent, what is the consent among the exchanging between them, lawful objects, what we can do legally, continuity of meaning, what does it mean, not declared void, whether it is the contract is valid or void, it is being done, legal for formalities, what type of legal formalities to be followed in that. The law relating to contracts in India confined to the Indian Contract Act 1872. The law of contract offers from other branches of law. The act does not lay down a number or rights and duties which the law will enforce. In this act, the party themselves create rights and duties which will be supported with limited principle. The one important thing of Indian Contract Act, when we are getting into an agreement, the duties and the rights between the two parties getting into that kind of contract is lies with them, and it is supported with limited principles. That is what is the basic difference between the general law versus this Indian Contract Act. Essentials of valid contract or essential elements of a valid contract is plurality of the parties, that is one or more, offer and acceptance, that is once you offer and there is an acceptance related, legal obligation, what is binding to conduct that act, lawful consideration, what type of consideration is, you know, among one another, each other, capacity of the parties, which we spoke about, what is the capacity of the party within the contract boundaries, free consent, in what is accepted or agreed among themselves, lawful object, so whatever we are conducting as a business is legally and it is lawful, law is allowing you to carry out that activity, certainty of meaning, there is a meaning for that contract, so as you know there is a meaning behind that, possibility of performance, what is expected out of that the contract among themselves, and what is the performance parameter, agreement not declared void or illegal, the agreements which are not declared as invalid in all perspective, legal formalities, and of course considering all legal requirements and formalities like creating a document, get it signed or registered appropriately as per the legal requirements. Pluralities of parties. An agreement is constituted by means of an offer by one party and an acceptance to other offer by the other party. That is what exactly it means. There is a two party, one is giving, creating the offer and another is accepting the order by all means. Offer, that's also called proposal. When one person signifies to another his willingness to do or to abstain from doing anything with a view to obtaining the assent of the other to such act or abstinence, he is said to make a proposal. Suppose I am on offering and another person is willing to accept that is exactly the meaning of offer, that's a proposal, and the party is willing to get that offer. Acceptance, once the offer is given, whether to accept by one, the offer is given by one and another is accepted, when the person to whom the proposal is made signifies his assent thereto, the proposal is said to be accepted. Once the receiver accepts the offer and given his nod, it's natural it is accepted. Promise. A proposal when accepted becomes a promise. In simple words, when an offer is accepted, it becomes a promise. Once the offer is accepted, it is also assumed that there is a promise among the two parties. One is offering a product or service, another is accepting the offer and service for certain consideration, etc. Promiser and promisee. When the proposal is accepted, the person making the proposal is called a promiser, and the person accepting the proposal is called promisee. The person who is offering is called promiser, and the person who is accepting it is called promising. Offer, acceptance is promise. An agreement is the result of an offer and its acceptance. Once it is agreed, the result means it is accepted. In order to create valid contract, both lawful offer and lawful acceptance are essential. If it is to be a valid contract, then it has to be follow certain basic principles of law, and it is lawfully accepted as well. Legal obligations. An agreement to become a contract must give rise to a legal obligation. Under Indian Contract Act, a legal obligation is the legal duty to do or abstain from doing a definite act or acts. If the parties do not intend to create legal obligation, there is no contract between them, whereas an agreement for social obligation cannot be a contract. As we stated, agreement plus legal obligation is the output of a contract. Suppose if an agreement is happening among two parties, it is more of an understanding of each other, and one is offering, one is accepting. But if you wanted, if there is in later stage any complication arises, you cannot go and fight it legally. Whereas that contract is gives you the freedom, because it is legally aligned agreement, so as it become a contract. Lawful consideration. What is lawful consideration? The legal meaning of consideration is something in return. In many cases on the contracts, something is always something is nothing but of the money which is the essential part of the business. Consideration, one of the essential elements of contract. Consideration is the price for which the promise of another is brought. So another is brought. It means I offer you the service, and you lawfully give this much of value to that in terms of money. An agreement without consideration is void. If there is an agreement but there is no clarity on any consideration, naturally it is void. Each party to the agreement must give or promise something and to receive something or a promise in return. So one party is offering something and another is party in return giving something. The something is nothing but of a, for an example here we can quote, I am giving you the service to you and you are in return give me compensation in form of money in terms of rupees or dollar or any legal valid legal tender. Capacity of parties. The party to the agreement must be competent to contract. Otherwise, it cannot be enforced by court of law. If either of the parties does not have capacity to contract, the contract is not valid. There is various parameters to define a capacity of a party. That's how it is defined in India. Naturally, if they are within that parameter, they are allowed to have contract. Otherwise, it is illegal. Free consent. The word consent means that the parties must have agreed upon same thing in the same sense. So the consent should be come from both the parties, that is the offer and the acceptance. It means I offer something, my interpretation of the receiver interpretation is different, and there is no consent actually. It should be like what I offer and the same understanding and the alignment is required from the receiver. So naturally that is called the consent, free consent. Otherwise it is different. Lawful object. Object has nothing to do with consideration, but it should be lawful. It is not related to how much you are offering, but what it is possible to offer as a business or service or product which are legally or lawfully right to do so. The object for which the agreement has been entered must not be illegal or immoral or opposed to public policy, which we spoke about a minute before. Certainty of meaning. The terms of the contract must be precise and certain. It cannot be vague. It's not like while we enter a contract, it has to be a start and end date or a renewal date. It cannot be just open-ended or vague. So it is difficult to decide the certain meaning, uncertainty or validity of the contract. Possibility of performance. If the act is impossible to act by itself, both physically or legally, it cannot be enforced at law. Example, if A agrees with B to discover a treasury by magic, such agreement is not enforceable. So these are all very, very clear. It should be a legitimate act among themselves. So it is the ability to offer and the ability to receive is very important in this performance. Agreement not declared void or illegal. According to the law, agreement in restraint of marriage, trade, legal proceeding, uncertainty of meaning and wagering agreement are void, unlawful. It is also illegal. Legal formalities. There is no specification for the agreement or contract which should be made in oral or written. It's not said that the contract should be verbally communicated or written. An oral contract is perfectly valid contract except in those cases where writing, registration, etc. are required for some statutes. So it is important if we expect those cases where, you know, required to be registered, there is a registration process required, naturally in that case the written down document is critical. In India, agreement is in writing is required in case of sale, mortgage, lease or gift of immovable property, etc. If the legal formalities are not allowed, there cannot be valid agreement form a contract. Types of contract. There are various type of contract in three categories. You can see on the basis of formation or mode of creation, on the basis of validity of enforceability, on the basis of performance. On the basis of formation or mode of creation, there are express contract, implied contracts and quasi contract. On the basis of validity or enforceability, valid contracts, void contracts, void agreements, voidable contracts, unforeseeable contracts, illegal contracts. On the basis of performance, executed contract, executory contracts, one is unilateral contracts and bilateral contracts. Types of offer. There are many offers which are defined here. It is express offer, implied offers, specific offer is specifically talking about certain offers and given, general offer which are more in generic in nature, positive offer, negative offer, definite offer, standing offer, cross offer and counter offer. Each one stands for certain type of offers. What are not offers? A mere statement of intention, example an announcement of forthcoming auction, is not an offer. An invitation to offer, example an ad in the newspaper, display of goods for window shopping. This definitely it is not, you know, valid. It is not an offer. If anybody wish to go, and he can go and see that. A mere communication of information. The catalog format of many products which are sold through various media is not, you know, it's an offer. It's a catalog. A casual inquiry, just getting into a shop and asking something, it is not an offer given by the shopkeeper or supplier. It is more towards inquiring, inquiry format. A prospectus inviting the public to subscribe to the share or debentures. Again, it is not an offer. It is only, you know, expected from the public. An ad for the tender. It is again not an offer. It is giving. This is asking for a tender, and the details are provided there. It is not necessarily an offer. Essentials of valid offer are rules regarding valid offer. Capable of creating legal relationship, it is one important thing. Offer may be expressed or implied. It's very clearly, you know, stated. Offer must be certain, definite and not vague, like, you know, period, specifically what you are looking for. It's not, cannot be just, you know, vague statement. Offer must be communicated to the offeree. What is offered is being always being communicated to the offeree. Offer must be made with a view to obtaining the acceptance or assent on the other party. It means when we are giving an offer, there should be an acceptance from the receiver. It means he also should be in the same state of mind and understanding of what you stated. An offer may be conditional. Offer also have certain kind of condition among two parties. An offer should not contain a term the non-compliance of which would amount to acceptance. If there are certain non-compliances are visible, it is not considered as acceptance. Offer is not a mere statement, as again is not a, you know, simple statement. Offer must be intentional to do an act. Again, it should be among agreement between I offer this for this kind of lawful consideration. That is an offer, so naturally that can be, you know, reviewed by the recipient. Offer should not be a cross offer. I say X and he give Y, it not an offer. It is actually a negotiation. Offer through printed contract. It is very important that offers are being given in writing as per contract formats. Consideration. Consideration is another important element of contract. It is a foundation of contract. The Contract Act enforces only those promises which are made for consideration. When one party promises to do something, it must get something in exchange. The something in return is known as consideration. So, an agreement made without consideration is a nude contract, and hence it is void. When we are getting into a contract, there is something we are offering to the offeree, and he is in a position to accept it in return, and also in return he is also offering something which is possibly in terms of money and the tender, valid tender applicable to the country. What is agreement? Every promise and set of promises forming the consideration for each other is called an agreement. In short, agreements equal to promise plus consideration. Agreement cannot go without a consideration. Agreement cannot go without a promise. Remedies for breach of contract. What are the remedies when we breach the contract? It is the duty of any lawful contracting parties to perform their respective promise. It is a must to do, because I agree to do this for this consideration, so as the recipient should accept it and acknowledge it, so as in turn, once he receives it, he is also reciprocated by giving the promise he entering with that contract. When the contract formed is valid, it is the commitment of both parties to perform the contract. It means whatever duty defined for party X and party Y is to be carried out by the respective party. The Contract Act provides remedies for breach of contract under section 73 to 75. It is possible to file a suit for damages, suit for cancellation or rescission, suit for specific performance related activities, suit upon quantum merit, suit for injunction, demanding for restitution. So this kind of possible remedies of, you know, breach of contract, which we can, you know, sue in the law, in the court of law. The purchase order. Is it a contract? Let's get into. When a seller, supplier, vendor, etc. accepts a purchase order, a legally binding contract is formed between the two parties. Yes, purchase order is a contract. In addition, the buyer should always clearly and explicitly communicate their request to the seller, so there is no confusion when the purchase order is received. Once the purchase order is received, it is the responsibility of the seller and purchaser to categorically clarify what is asked for, what is the consideration, so as exactly among the buyer and seller are in acceptance of the contract. Role of purchase manager. The purchase manager is considered to be a general agent of the buying firm. He is a general agent. In short, yes, he is a single contact to liaise between the company and the supplier. A supplier dealing with the purchasing manager has a right to rely on his statement both in written form and in verbal form. It means the supplier has the merit to rely on the purchase manager and accept his statements either in form, in writing, or it is in verbally communicator. Purchasing manager generally have final authority over purchasing decision within their firms. It is natural that purchasing manager have their rights and roles and responsibility defined. However, this final decision may be reached through the input provided by the cross-functional sourcing team. There are possibility in some companies. The decisions are made always through cross-functional team. Then the final order placement happened. In the end, however, someone must be signed the contract. That is the responsibility of the purchase manager or the higher ups according the authority level defined in the company. Expectations are to be set in clearly by the employer. Legal bindings are to be adhered clearly by the purchase manager. Should be ethical and faithful, because we are dealing with external external team, people, resources, and has to be very faithful and ethical, so as there is no wrongdoing happening. Work with supplier to get best out of the supplier. You should coordinate, collaborate with the supplier and ensure get best out of the supplier. to ensure getting right quality inputs, right quantity and right place, which is the basic responsibility of purchase manager. It's natural. Manager input inventory optimally. He manages inventory to the optimal level, so as you know, cost of the company is appropriately managed. Actual authority and apparent authority. Actual authority stems from the instruction and granting of authority to the purchasing manager via the job description provided by the employer. These documents define the limits and parameters under which the purchasing manager is expected to operate. He says defining his roles and responsibility and the authority level on which he can act upon while dealing with the external and internal, and the hierarchy on which the authorities are defined in various parameters. It can be based on the vendor, it can be based on the quantity, it can be based on the value of the order, so as the parameters are defined as part of his roles and responsibility. Apparent authority is the level of authority perceived by the supplier to be available to the purchasing manager. If the purchasing manager is a face for the supplier to the company, so all the dealing he is doing with the purchase manager is also been considered by the supplier he is doing with the company. It is the role, not the person. Ethics. In a business setting, ethical behavior is the use of recognized social principles involving justice and fairness throughout a business relationship. When we are dealing with a supplier and relation is purely business, it is natural that we have to consider a level of fairness while dealing with the supplier, and it should be purely business related and not personal. When interacting with supplier, an ethical buyer treats them in a just, decent and honest manner, which we spoke in the previous line point as well. Being ethical means following a code viewed as fair by those within the profession as well as the community. It is not restricted within the ethical. It is not only self, but is also within the boundaries of the organization and also the community as well. It's very critical that ethical code of conduct is important for any purchase manager. Three rules are understood to be part of ethical behavior. A buyer must commit his attention and energies for the organization's benefit rather than a personal gain, which we spoke about. It is more for business purposes. The relations are established for ensuring to get the best price, best quantity at best price, right quantity at right place. That is the role of the purchase manager. A buyer must act ethically towards supplier, which means professionally and with respect. He should not anyway consider any of the supplier as a special. He should equally treat all the vendors and supplier ethically. So as you know, in all means, he is managing them professionally and respect them professionally, so as he get the best out of them. A buyer must uphold the ethical standard. A code of conduct, which is very, very important in most of the company, insists that purchase manager must sign this document related to code of conduct of conduct. It is only defining what is ethical in sense of business. Types of unethical behavior which are being noticed. Giving a preferential treatment to supplier, which we stated, he cannot give any preferential treatment to any supplier or vendor. It has to be equally managed. When a purchasing department purchases material for personal needs of the employees, it is called unethical. Accepting gifts and favors from a supplier, in many companies, in a code of conduct, make it very specific that gifts and favors are not acceptable from a supplier, and in particularly purchase managers. A sharp practice. If a buyer exaggerates the size of a supplier cost problems to extract a larger penalty or concession from the supplier, sharing information on competitive quotes, etc., is not behavioral pattern. When a buyer awards a business to a supplier because the buyer or his family or relatives have a direct financial interest in the supplier, this is considered a major unethical practice. It is not considered ethical and not also appreciated by any company. Code of ethics. Consider this interest. Consider the interest of your company. That is very critical. Believe in and carry out company's established policies and processes, and not doing anything personal. Buy without prejudice. Get full value for the money from the supply. That is very, very important. Never impair the dignity and responsibility of your office. Never degrade yourself and as well as the organization. And it is your responsibility to see that the code of ethics is followed absolutely in totality. Know the materials and process. Know the materials and process of the manufacturer. Work for honesty and truth. Denounce all forms of bribery. It is very, very critical. In some country, bribery is very high, and by law it is also an offense. Avoid short practice, which we spoke about a slide before. Treat supplier with respect. That is very, very important. Every supplier is also doing a business and also helping us to establish our business. So it is total respect to the supplier to be given. Action to be, make sure that the ethics prevails in the company. Develop a statement of ethics or code of ethics. As I said, code of conduct, code of ethics is the various types of forms are used across globally. So every company should develop statements with its focus on ethics. There should be a commitment of top management to code of ethics. Everyone in the organization, including the top management, to follow ethics and code of conduct. And if necessary, the code of conduct document should be created and signed off from the respective people engaging the supplier. Develop closer relationship with the supplier. Use a team approach to evaluate supplier's capability. It is just very important. Offer ethical training to the new entrants. When there is a new supplier comes in, a new people coming into the organization, we have to explain them what is ethical code of ethics are concerned in this organization, and ensure they are aligned with that policy. Develop consistent behavior. If accepting gifts from supplier is prohibited, the marketing department distributing gifts to customers should also be prohibited. It's not only to purchaser, it's also you also should not give gifts to your customer and making them to buy your product. It is a both side ethical requirement.